some kind of spirit going in here. Amen. But I think that the Lord gave me an answer to give to you today. You see, because there's just too much instability going on. Too much instability. And the Bible tells me a double-minded person is unstable in all its ways. An unstable person doesn't have confidence, so they wobble. Amen? You see our little babies, until they have confidence to walk, they wobble. Amen? So God told me something about stability that I'm going to preach to you today. Have you ever drove in a car and it's wobbling when you turn a corner and it's wobbling like that? That's because the stabilizer bar is bad and needs to be replaced. Amen? We swim in pools and water and all of that. But in order for us to swim safely, they have to put a stabilizer in there to keep the water clean. Amen? Some of the foods that we eat, in order for it to stay longer than when it was first produced, they got to put a stabilizer in there, an additive in there, in order to keep it for a few days. Amen? So I looked up the word. What does it mean to be a stabilizer, be stable? It's a thing that is used to keep something steady. It prevents the breakdown of other things, emotions and things around that. Sometimes people have a stable personality. Amen? When you look to your leaders, you want to see a stable personality, right? You don't want to see somebody unstable. Amen? When we look around the world today, we see so much unstable people, instability. Amen? When we look at the prodigal son in the scriptures, we realize that he was unstable. Amen? Because he went from the palace. Amen? And when he got out on his own, he ended up back in the pig pen. But the Bible says that when he came to his senses, when his mind got stable again, amen, he remembered my father. My father. So I'm here today to tell you that in instability, remember your father. Amen? This society today, as we look around, everything that we go through, there's a bunch of instability going on. Amen? There's no longer a just society. Everything that's going on in society, the sins that are going on, the wrong that is going on, the evil that's going on, I have to say this because our children and us are involved in everything in society, amen? We're not locked away in a closet. We're exposed to these things. So if we look at them, we see that the world has become zombies. And a zombie is defined as a dead person that gives a semblance of life, but is mute and has no will. I didn't mean to hurt nobody today. But the church has become zombified, where we're walking around like dead people with no will. If you didn't, when you came in here this morning, praise would have been on your lips. Praise would have been on your lips. Because you knew whatever you was leaving behind you, you was coming into something where God was going to do something different in your life. Where whatever was going on behind you, it was going to be turned around just as soon as you came in here. And if you didn't have the will, the prayer and the praises of those in here would have lifted you up. So we're starting to act like the world being zombified. People out there being murdered, acting without any concern for human life. There's not a shred of decency, of compassion. I said the word compassion. We as a church have to have compassion. When Jesus looked out on the multitudes, as tired as he was, he had compassion. And even though he didn't have a lot, his compassion led him to feed 15,000 people. Two fish, five loaves. He's a miracle working God, I tell you. So for just a few minutes this morning, I want to present you with a stabilizer. I want to present you with something that can bring us back to true center and true north. Amen? And there's hope for me. There's hope for you. Amen? So no matter how out of balance and out of control things are all around you right now, there's a stabilizing factor. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 33, 5 to 6, NIV, it says, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with his justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure." So if I had a text for this morning, it is the stability of your times. The stability of your times. Not mine, but your times. Amen? This scripture, in the days of Isaiah, the kingdom of Judea was facing troubled times. Assyria was advancing from the north, conquering kingdom after kingdom. Amen? When you look at the world today and you see things that are going on, it looked like the enemy is advancing more than we are advancing the gospel. It looked like he's conquering people after people after people. Amen? So we're living in troubled times. The northern kingdom of Israel was already taken into captivity. And as Assyria drew near to Jerusalem, the people were undecided as to where they would turn. Sounds like today. Some advocated that they just give themselves up to the Assyrians. Others looked to the south, believing that an alliance with another enemy, Egypt, would save them. But Isaiah was sent by God to warn the people to do neither. So I'm saying today, I say it looked like today because some people are ready to give up to the devil. Others are looking for alliances with stuff, with other enemies. Amen? But I'm here to tell you this morning, don't do neither. The key to their salvation and the key to our salvation should be our trust in the Lord and not men. The Lord would provide stability that they needed when all seems lost. The Lord will provide us with stability when everything around us seems lost. When everything around us is going crazy, the Lord will provide us with stability. The New King Version speak of wisdom and knowledge as the stability of your time. So in order to have stability, you need wisdom and knowledge. Of course, it is the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord spoken here in the Bible. The Bible puts it this way. He shall be the stability of your times. Another Bible says, he shall be the sure foundation of your times. If you're standing on a strong foundation, it won't wobble. It is strong. You could stand there and you can withstand the winds, the waves, the storms of life. The unstable conditions of today, we face many disturbing things in our life. Amen? Job put it this way. Man who was born a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Of a few days and full of trouble. So as we get older, it seems like the days are going quicker. Amen? We sit up and we say, I can't believe it's Friday already. When you're young, you're saying, it ain't Friday already because we want to get paid. It seemed like Friday take forever. But when you get older, it's like Friday already. Monday, Friday. We face many disturbing things in life. Sickness, death, natural disasters. Some of them are very peculiar to this day and age that we're in right now. Nuclear holocaust. 100 years ago, they wasn't worried about that. Environmental pollution. 30, 40 years ago when they were talking about it, nobody paid attention. But I could tell you right now, going through school, they were saying these things were going to happen. Amen? Inflation, recession, unemployment, AIDS, cancer, heart disease, road rage. We didn't have road rage before. Every time we progress, new stuff happens. Amen? There was no road rage with horse and carriage. But as we move forward and progressed and had cars, now we got road rage. Amen? And it's not just the road rage we had 20 years ago, where you look at the person in the other car, and they look at you, and you step on the gas, and you fly. It's road rage because you cut me off, and I'm going to get you. You step out of your car, I'm going to shoot you. Amen? Drive-by shootings. We didn't have that so much as we have it today. So these things have an effect on us. Some of the things that they have is something called anxiety. The other one is fear. Others react with depression. We are living in an age of anxiety. You say, well, what do you mean? Because we have intense, excessive, and persistent worry. You see, some of you came in here this morning with excessive worry. Some came in with persistent, excessive, intense worry. Worry and fear about everyday solutions, everyday situations. Amen? Everyday situations. Every day we got so many things that we're worried about. We move forward, but we move back. I say that because 15 years ago, we didn't have the cell phones that we and use them the way that we use them today. If the phone rings, you act like you must answer. You got to know who's calling you. We didn't have that before. Somebody writes something, you like something on Facebook, somebody else like it, all you hear is bing. You want to see if somebody reacted to your comment or somebody else made another comment. We didn't have that before. Amen? These things, believe it or not, create anxiety. And then if you get into a feud with somebody on Facebook, Lord have mercy. You can't wait to text back or say something and wait for somebody to say something to you. All of that stuff is pent up inside of you. We didn't have that before. Now we have another part of this age called neurosis, where the average person who has this is always moody. How many people have you seen that are always moody? Always moody. You come to church, always moody, always full of anxiety, worry, fear, anger, frustration, envy, jealousy, guilt, and depressed, and lonely. We are affected by this. Amen? Some of us don't even murmur or complain about it, but we are affected about this. There's so much joylessness. Listen, joylessness. Joylessness. Not happiness. Joylessness in our lives. We don't even realize the God, how great a God we serve, the great things that he does for us, because we're too concerned about the physical things that everybody else calls normal. Some things that are not disturbed by them, we experience it. We experience financial crises, disease with their uncertainties. We still somehow find cause for great joy, Some people go through these things and they still find joy and stability in their lives. So what's the difference? You see, there's a Christians and practicing Christians and those that know the Lord. Can I say that again? There are non-Christians, there are Christians, and there are people that know the Lord. We got labels for everybody. We need to know which one of those groups we stand in. Amen? I want to be in the group that knows the Lord. Because when I'm in the group that knows the Lord, my reaction will be different. I know that there's a source of my strength that I got that other people don't have, that the non-Christian don't have, that just the Christians have. I know the Lord, so I have something that they don't have. I know this to be true, that the Lord provides stability in troubled times. From our text, we learn how the Lord provides stability. It says it comes from wisdom, and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Amen? What is wisdom? Wisdom is not necessarily being smart, a straight-A student. Some of the wisest people couldn't even make it through school. Some of the people with the millionaires and billionaires never made it through college. And the world will look at them like they're not that wise. But you know what? They got wisdom. I'd rather have wisdom than book smarts. I'd rather have godly wisdom to do the things so he can take me through what I got to go through. The Bible says such wisdom and knowledge can help us face life. This is what we're doing right now. We are facing life on life's terms. And life's terms are not necessarily the terms that we want to live it on. And because we live it on life's terms, we go through things and we get frustrated easy. We get disappointed easy. We go into depression. But I say to God that I serve, if I live my life on the terms that he gave me this life, I'm going to say that again. If I go through life on the terms in which he gave me this life, then I can face life because he will guide me and protect me from the pitfalls of life. Proverbs 2 says, "For God gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So when I want wisdom, I ain't talking to you. When I want knowledge, I ain't talking to you. When I want these things, I need to talk to him above. He provides comfort and guidance and confidence in times of turmoil. Listen, turmoil ain't turmoil if you have confidence. Trouble ain't trouble if you have confidence. Because people around you will say, oh, you're going through turmoil. And you can say, no, I'm not. I know who I serve. I know where I'm getting my comfort. I know where I'm getting my wisdom from. I know where my knowledge comes from. I know where my strength comes from. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The salvation of the Lord can help us face death. Death, the strength of our salvation can help us face death. If we know the Lord, we know that he will save us in eternity. We can face the adverse situations and circumstances of life. Now, I don't mean to talk about anybody, but I'm going to talk about somebody, not in here, but I'm not going to give no names. No, you got to know something. Life is about having experiences and knowing what you see and recognizing it so you can apply it to your life. Amen? If I just say something out of the ordinary and you say, where does he know that from? I'm telling you, I know it. I saw it. I seen it. I heard it. One of the biggest atheists that I knew who didn't want to talk about God, didn't want to hear prayers, didn't want to hear none of that stuff. But as he was dying, he wanted people to pray for him. He wanted to know the scriptures then. He wanted to know more about the Lord. If you are such an atheist, believe in what you believe in. But death has a way of turning things around, turning your mindset around. When you're about to face the end and eternity, somehow things change. then you start looking to the hills where your help is going to come from. By providing comfort and confidence in times of turmoil, God is willing to provide such wisdom to those that are willing to look to him. So even in that time, my God still had grace and mercy towards whoever is willing to look to him. No bigger example do we have that as Jesus hung on the cross in between two thieves, and one of them asked for mercy and the other one made a mockery. And he says, today, not tomorrow, today, not next week, today. I got it today, God. Whatever it is you're going through, today, today, today. Look at Paul. Paul had a strong hope. The biggest devil there was out there at the time, converted over to Christianity, becoming a believer of Jesus Christ. He had a strong hope. Amen? That's why I love to see some of the biggest devil come to Jesus. Because that strength that they have in the devil, let them bring it to Christ. Paul had an attitude that resulted in hope. Amen? Sometimes we need to have an attitude adjustment in order to have hope in what Christ says. Because we live and the world teaches us to be pessimists. You look at TV, it's always some doubt in what they're saying. You can't even look at the news. You can't believe what they're saying. Amen? I used to always want to listen to the news. I always wanted to know what was going on. But now I can't because I don't know what to believe. Therefore, this party or that party, this person, that person, abortion, anti-abortion, I can't listen to that. They're double-minded. It's who they want you to vote for, who you want to believe, whatever theory is going on in their minds. Different stations have different philosophies. Ask the person, well, what news station you look at, and you're going to find out a philosophy that they got. The stability of your times. The key is the fear of the Lord. The scripture says the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Where else is it saying about the Lord is the key to the treasure of having wisdom and knowledge? Proverbs 1:7 says, it is the beginning of knowledge. What is fear the Lord? It is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. Amen? If you don't fear the Lord, you lack wisdom and knowledge. That's what the Bible's saying. We live in a society that don't fear the Lord. We live in a society that do not fear the Lord. So, to receive salvation, it is necessary to be accepted by God. The message of salvation is given to those who have it. The message is given for spiritual growth. I say it's given to those who have it because if we don't give it to them, they're not going to have it. Why is the fear of the Lord necessary? Because the fear of the Lord departs you from evil. If you didn't have fear of the Lord, you would still be doing the things that you used to do. Come on, somebody. You know what you used to do. If you didn't fear the Lord, you would still be doing the things that you used to do. Do you need to have a reverence for God and his righteous judgment? And it has to be a motivation. It has to be effective. In other words, it has to motivate you to do the things that you need to do for God. In the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confidence, a place of refuge. When we turn to God, the fear of the Lord becomes a source of great blessings. Not just blessings, but wisdom, knowledge, salvation, confidence, and refuge. Indeed, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of life. Amen? It is the foundation of life. What I mean by that is, like, if you want to live a good life, if the fear of the Lord is in your life, you'll live your life by his precepts. Amen? How many times have we not lived by his precepts, or you seen people not live by what he says, and at the end of their life, or near the end of their life, or as they get sick, the word is, I wish I would have listened earlier. Why do I say that? Because the Bible tells me that man is of a few days. A few days. You're not going to live here forever. You're not going to live here forever on this earth, and then all of a sudden eternity flips over. You die. There'll be some that'll be caught up to meet them, but you ain't guaranteed that. You're not guaranteed that. So the essence of what I'm preaching on today is this. Those who lack stability in troubled times do so because they lack the wisdom, knowledge, and salvation of the Lord. I'll say that again. Those who lack stability in troubled times do so because they lack the wisdom and knowledge and salvation of the Lord. They lack these things because they do not fear the Lord. A proper fear of the Lord would prompt them to turn from evil and turn to God, where they would find this wisdom, this knowledge, and salvation, which in turn would provide stability in your times. Amen? With stability, you can say, along with the writer of Hebrews, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Can you say that with me? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You could go to your boss, and he won't understand what you're saying, but you could say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can you do to me? He wrote, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And the devil wants you to have instability. The devil wants you to have fear. The devil wants you running around with a chicken without a head. The devil wants you walking around confused. But when you know the word, when you have that relationship with the Lord, when you read the word, when you pray with expectation, you can say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can the devil do to me? That's not just a promise for today. That's a promise for always. Oh, the scripture says in Isaiah, even in your old age and your gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I'll carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. With whom will you compare me with? He said, remember this. Keep it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I made known from the end to be the beginning. Oh, he went in reverse. He said, I made it known at the end. All the way to the beginning. He didn't start in the beginning. He started at the end. I knew from the end all the way to the beginning. I am God. I am God. There's none like me. He says, I made known from the end to the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. He knew from back then all the way here what's going to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do that all that I please. He says, I will do all that I please. I will do what I please. I'm not going to do what you want, but if it pleases me, I'll please you. Hallelujah. That's just to let you know from the end of your life all the way back to your childhood, when the time that you were formed in your mother's womb. He says, I knew you when you were formed in your mother's womb. But in this scripture, he's telling you, I know from the day that you are going to die. From the day that you're going to die, I already know. From the end to the beginning. God has promised, has not promised. Skies are always going to be blue. But he has promised strength for the day. God has not promised that as you go along your way, they're going to put flowers down and just welcome you. Oh, hallelujah. But he did say, I'll give you rest for labor all through your lives. I'll light your way. God has not promised sun without rain. But God has promised grace for your trials. God has not promised joy without sorrow. But he has promised help from above. God has not promised peace without pain, but he has promised unfailing sympathy and undying love. No matter what it is that you go through, God sympathizes with you. God has something like a heart. He understands what it is that you're going through. He says, I will always be with you. I will always help you. The promises of God we can stand on. We can't stand on what man says, but God's promises are yea and amen. Oh, hallelujah. He says, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. And God says to Moses, I am Yahweh. God says to Moses, I am the Lord that heals you. Some of us need to know that he is the God that can heal us. Oh, hallelujah. He says, I am merciful. He said, Yahweh the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. The devil has no compassion on you. The devil has no mercy. God says, I am slow to anger, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. God is always faithful. He's always going to love you. Hate is never going to be a word in his vocabulary to look towards you. He's always going to love you. He says, if you obey my decrees, my regulations, you will find life through them because I am the Lord. He says, be still. Hallelujah. Be still. Stop running around. Be still and know that I am God. He says, I am the Lord. That's my name. I'm the Lord. That's my name. I'm the Lord. That's my name. So many other gods they're calling on right now. But he says, I am the Lord. That's my name. Don't call me out of my name. That's my name. He says, from eternity to eternity, I am God. He says, no one can snatch anyone out of my hands. Nobody can snatch you out of God's hands. We all want peace, comfort, and security. The devil cannot snatch you out of God's graces, out of God's hands, out of God's goodness, out of God's mercy. The enemy wants to do that to you. But he says, nobody, nobody. Nobody. Even Job. If God didn't want Job, the devil, to do things to Job, he couldn't do them. He said, consider my servant, Job. Consider him. You could do what you want to do, but don't you touch him. Don't you kill him. You can't do that. Maybe some of you are having a Job's circumstance. a Job situation where God might have said, consider my servant. Consider them. Consider them. See if they're going to curse me or they're going to rely on me. See if they're going to run around and do the things that you're going to do or just rely on me. See if when you trouble them that they're going to call my name and pray to them. Pray to me. Consider them. Sometimes you'll go through things. Don't you know the Lord said to the devil, consider her. I know her makeup. I know that she can withstand what the enemy puts on her. Consider them. He says, I am the Lord. If I say it, it will happen. Boom. If I say it, it's going to happen. You're sick. Something's going on in your life. If he say it, boom, it's going to happen. Healing. Deliverance. Restoration. In the name of Jesus. Boom, it'll happen. He says, I am the Lord, and I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. I am not going to change. What I write, it is. What I say, it is. What I do, it is. I am that I am. In your times of insecurity, I am what I am. In your times of sickness and trouble, I am that I am. In your times of financial stress, I am that I am. In the times of frustration and disappointment, disillusion, I am that I am. But if I say it, it'll happen. Boom. He says, I am the one sitting on the throne. Look, I'm making everything new. Then he said, I write this because these words are true and can be trusted. Who are you putting your trust in? Oh, hallelujah. Who are you putting your trust in? Who are you putting your trust in today? Who are you putting your trust in today? Who are you listening to? Who got your ear? Who's got your emotions? Who's got your heart? Who you're trusting today? I am that I am. And what I say is true. Oh, hallelujah. Be still. Hallelujah. Some of us just got to be still. Hallelujah. Be still. God ain't mad at you. God ain't angry, but you got to be still. Stop running around. Sometimes we run around and run around and run around and then we get tired. We blame God for we're tired. But stop running around. Be still and know that he's God. Be still and know that he can do what he says he can do. Be still. Understand if it's in his will and his way, things will happen. Not tomorrow, but devil tried to tempt Jesus. He said, listen, fella. He says, you know, I could call my father and he'll send thousands, legions coming down here. But I got something to do. What he did for me and you. He didn't have to go through it. You ever tell somebody, oh, you really ain't have to do that for me? And you really wanted them to do it? He did it because he loves us more than we love ourselves. He stopped playing around. He says, I must do the will of my Father that sent me. Let me tell you something about the two Adams. The first Adam, was created. That didn't work. Amen. But the second Adam was sent. He was sent with a purpose. He was sent with a mandate. Don't you know that each and every one of us are sent? We want to be created. Some of us try to create ourselves, you know, to be something we ain't. But when God sends you somewhere, there's a power. There's an anointing on your life that nobody, no devil in hell, nobody, no one can take away from you. And the enemy knows when you're sent. So you're wondering why you're going through trials and tribulations. It's because of your instability with him. Because when you have stability, you have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of what the devil is trying to do and how to be still and know that God is going to handle it for you. Some of y'all don't believe it, but it's okay. It's true. It's so true. He says, I am the one who comforts you. So why are you afraid of mere humans who wither like the grass and disappear? Everyone trying to get after you, all those demons that are after you, the people that he uses, they're going to be cut down. And disappear. The most important thing to realize about that, you ain't got nothing to do with it. He's going to do it for you. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord. So if you're running around with instability, you need to get some wisdom and some knowledge from the Lord, because he is the one that says, don't be discouraged, because I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. We need help from the Lord. Amen. Let us stand this morning. The world is living in unstable times. The world is unstable. But you are just a microscope, a microcosm in the world. But to God, you are somebody. You're not a microcosm, you're a somebody. In an unstable time, for us to be stable, we have to know the Lord. Hallelujah. We have to pray. We have to ask for guidance, wisdom, and knowledge, because the enemy knows those are the things that can defeat us, the lack of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The scripture once again says, he is the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation. Have you ever gone into a rich store just to look, and things look so nice, but you say, I can't afford it? Oh, how good that would look on me. But you can't afford it. But the Bible says that our God is a rich store.
Yes.
He is a rich store for salvation, for wisdom, and knowledge. But in this rich store, it don't cost you nothing. It don't cost you anything. And you can keep going to the store and getting more and getting more and getting more. Amen. And you would be so rich that the enemy, people are going to be jealous of you. They're going to be envious of you. And they're going to want to know, how is it but your God?
Your God.
Your God. He owns that store.
Yes.
He owns that store. And whatever it is that you need out of that store,
yes,
he'll meet you at the door. And he'll give it to you before you even go in shopping. Because he already knows what you need. And he's going to give you what you need. He's going to give you what you need. Now, if you need something, come to the store today. Come to the store today. See, because to get to that store, you got to go through the door. And Jesus says, I am. No, Jesus says, I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. No one gets to the Father except through me. The store is open. Whatever you need, God's got it. Whatever you want, God's got it. Are you walking around with all these things in your head, the confusion and the insanity is getting to you? God can stop the insanity through wisdom and knowledge and salvation. If you need them, come today.
My
don't delay.
Life is not-